Heavenly Father, we do come before you right now in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I would pray and ask tonight that you would teach us what it means to use your name with authority, and that we would do so accurately, that we would do so rightfully, that, Father, that we would see things change for the better in our own lives, but, Father, also on behalf of other people who don't know you or don't know you well enough to be able to call out to you for themselves. Father, I pray that your heart, your compassion, your mercy for people would break through the hardness and the indifference of our own hearts, that we would be true disciples of Jesus Christ, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to do my very best to teach tonight on praying with authority. Remember going into a hospital room of a lady that I grew up with. She was a couple years ahead of me in school. We were all adults by this time. She was married. Her husband was an extremely good friend of ours. And she was in the hospital dealing with, it doesn't matter, I'll just say, unnamed illness. Okay? That part of the story is kind of irrelevant. But they had another friend in the room, and we visited for just a little bit. But before I left, I prayed. And I prayed sort of the way I would for you if you were in the hospital. And this was serious. And I just don't understand praying without some expectation that what you're asking for might actually happen. Because what is the point of prayer if it's not to change something? Now, last week we talked about prayers of dedication and consecration. And that's a whole other kind of prayer, okay? Because that's a prayer where I'm saying, Lord, I want what you want in my life. I want your will to be done, and I'm dedicating myself. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. You know, there's just different kinds of prayers. Ephesians 5:18 says, praying with all manner of prayer and supplication. In other words, not all prayer is the same. There's different rules to different kinds of praying. Okay? So what we're talking about tonight is really taking authority over situations. I prayed with authority. You know, they were so perplexed at Jesus because he taught with authority, not like one of the scribes or the Pharisees. There's teachers that when they teach, you know, it seems like they're trying to make a point, but they're like giving you every hedge to everything that they're saying, so they're almost undoing what they're saying while they're saying it. Have you ever been in that? And so when they're done saying, they didn't really say anything. They wouldn't take a stand and say, this is what I believe. You know, I'm going to get up here and say, this is what I believe. I could be wrong. Possible. I'm a human being. But I believe it to be true, and so I'm going to teach it that way. Okay, you follow me? And so this prayer, when I got in with this prayer, I'll just never forget, this friend of theirs said, well, like kind of like, wow. Like, that was powerful, or that had some oomph behind it or something. And I just walked out of the room sort of thinking, okay. And the good part of the story, and I'm not taking credit, is she was healed. Okay? She didn't end up having this serious illness that she thought she had. Okay? And she still doesn't have it to this day. And I saw them a few months ago in their home in Kansas City. There is a way to pray. In James chapter 5, it's talking about if you're cheerful, sing a song. You know, if you're troubled, pray. If you're sick, and the context of that scripture, James 5 starts with verse 14, says, if you're sick, and it really means, and you're not really getting any better, call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, not every prayer is a prayer of faith, not every prayer is supposed to be a prayer of faith. There's other kinds of prayers. There's praising God, that's prayer. Right? But the prayer of faith will save the one that's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Are you following me? Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. But the prayer of faith will get results. And I just think we need to grab a hold of that kind of faith and that kind of authority. Where does that kind of authority come from that when you pray for something, you really expect it to happen? You have some expectation that this thing you're praying about is going to happen. Now, the last few days, went away to a meeting, and the daytime meeting, a lot of daytime meeting had a lot to do with policies and procedures and elections, which did not interest me in the slightest bit at all. So I rode my bike. And I rode my bike a lot because those meetings went on for a long time. But I got in for the teaching meetings and the other things. And that's, I don't know if you saw any posting. I posted Chad leading praise and worship last night for this big group, hundreds of people in this meeting. And he did a fabulous job because he's good. He's really good. And but my point is I intended to take my bike because I wanted to get outside and pray. And I've been praying more in the lines of dedication and consecration, seeking after the will of God. But then there's some things also that I know God has spoken to my heart. And I started praying more with authority, like, okay, God, this needs to happen. And that needs to happen, and the other thing needs to happen. And I'm talking to God like I'm expecting him to do something about this, because 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it, who will also bring it to pass. So I've had a lot of conversations with God in my life. Hey, don't put something in my heart that you don't intend to do, because that's not fair to me. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's not always just the pages of the Bible, because the Bible doesn't have anything to do with go here or go there or go the other place or start this or stop that or marry this girl or, you know, that kind of thing. That could be like a word from God. Are you following me? And that's where faith comes from. Because nothing Michelle and I ever did for God could we have accomplished in our own ability. It took God to do it, and you just step out. But it takes some real bold prayers of faith, and that's what I'm going to teach you tonight. So look at this in Matthew chapter 8, and beginning with verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those following, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. So what's going on here? We have this servant of this centurion, this Roman soldier, this Roman officer, who came and approached Jesus and said, told him the situation. And Jesus said, okay, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, not necessary that you should come. In fact, I don't feel worthy that you should even enter my house. You just speak the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed because I understand how authority works. I'm a soldier under authority. I receive orders and I carry out and execute those orders. And I give orders and I expect those to be obeyed. You, Jesus, I understand. I've observed this. I've heard about you. I've watched you. And you have authority over situations like this. So you just speak the word and that will take care of it. And Jesus said, now that's some faith I can work with. I wish my own people understood how this kind of faith works. That's why people get confused sometimes. You see a dear church person who's followed the Lord for 120 years, doesn't receive from God in prayer, and then just some rank heathen off the street, you know, I mean, probably cursed and, you know, put out his cigarette on the way into the church building, you know, took his chew out and threw it in the bushes, whatever. And that person sometimes will just instantly be healed in a church service. You go, that's not even right. That's not even fair. But Jesus addressed this. This doesn't have anything to do with our righteousness, our holiness, our doing things right. This has to do with faith. This person had no covenant with God, whatever. He's a Roman soldier. He was just observing Jesus is healing people, so he gets it. Jesus has authority over sickness and disease and things that torment people. So I'll just get him to come and heal my servant, and he doesn't have to come do anything. You just speak it, and that's good enough. That's good news for us. I said that's good news for us if we understand authority. We understand where we might have authority, where we might not have authority. So if you read the rest of the story, they went and checked, and this servant was healed the very moment Jesus spoke the words. Okay? And Jesus said, that's faith. That's faith. Faith believes that God will do what he said he would do. Very simple. Faith believes God's word. Okay? So we're kind of getting an understanding of how authority works. And you say, well, that's Jesus. Well, I'm glad you brought up that objection. Look at Luke chapter 10. Because people love to point out that Jesus can do certain things, but we should have no expectation whatever that we could do anything like that, except we do have the book. You know, I'm really kind of appalled. I'm really kind of embarrassed. I've been a pastor so long and people are less interested in the Bible today after me teaching it for 30-some years to them. You know, maybe it's me. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, you're not going to have a lot of faith and you're not going to walk in a lot of authority and you're not going to get a lot of spiritual victories unless you know the book. Because this is where this kind of faith and this is where this kind of boldness and this is where this kind of authority comes from. And it's not just some vague idea of what the Bible says. It's knowing very specifically what the Bible says. Because when Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's not some general word from God. There's two words that are translated word in the New Testament, right? There's logos that just really has to do with everything that God is and everything that God knows, and just it's this all-inclusive word for the knowledge of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the word logos, speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the all-consuming, everything that God is, Word. Got it? But that's not where faith comes from. Faith is not some impression of everything that God is. That's not where faith comes from. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the word there is not logos, the word is rhema. And the word rhema really means a specific word. Concerning your life, you don't need a general word, you need a specific word. Now, I only tell our stories because they're our stories to tell, okay? But when we found out that Lindy was supposed to be born with a certain serious ailment, an actual disease, we went searching for a specific word from God. Not a general word from God. And the specific word that Michelle and I received is that she would be normal. Just very simple, she will be normal. Okay? Well, you saw her up here. She looks pretty normal. Right? You know, she looks like everybody else. Nothing wrong with her. She's normal. But that was the specific word that we got from God. Now, it's very fascinating because our doctor, Dr. Yoon, did not believe that Lindy would be normal. Believed that there would be a problem, a certain ailment, a certain, you know, disease. And he was certain she had that based on his vast medical experience and vast medical knowledge. And the fact that this was a very troubled pregnancy that we were having here with our fourth child, and lots of complication and so forth involved with it. And how many weeks early was she born? 5 weeks early, before her due date. Again, an indicator that not all is well. The very first thing that Dr. Yoon, as soon as Lindy came out, Dr. Yoon says, she is what? Normal. We've had three kids with the same doctor. He didn't go, oh, look, this one's normal. That one's normal. Look, normal. Never said that before. You know, we're old school. We didn't know we were having a daughter with Whitney, right? With Whitney, we didn't know. You're like, how old are you? Old enough. We didn't know. We didn't go get, what do they call the sonograms, every other week. You got what you got. But they didn't say normal. They said, look, it's a girl. They don't announce normal. That's not the normal thing that a doctor says when your baby's born. Look, like, oh, I'm glad it's not an alien. Good. Are you following me? But we started praying with authority based on a word that we had from God. And that's faith. Right? Look. Where could we get an idea like this? Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And then he said, go. And then he gives them all these instructions, okay? All these instructions. Verse 8, he says, wherever, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. And we've always taken that scripture literally. You know, we've been in some weird, creepy places and had some weird, creepy food. But if they put it in front of us, we eat it in Jesus' name. And we don't really, we just don't. I think I've been sick one time on any mission trip, and that was eating at the Chinese restaurant in Lima, Peru. And it was a 5-star restaurant. It was the best restaurant I've probably ever eaten in a foreign country. It was the only place I've ever gotten sick. I've eaten every kind of village. I've eaten stuff. I had no idea what it was. But Jesus said, wherever you go, just eat what's, if they receive you and they bring you into your home. I mean, we in Pakistan, there was literally cows in the next room next to where we were having tea and whatever inside the house. I don't know how to explain this to you. There were cows inside this house. And everything that goes along with cows. You understand? It wasn't a sanitary environment. I don't know where they washed the dishes or what they washed the dishes in. And I'm not sure exactly what we were eating. But Jesus said, if they go and receive you and they put food out in front of you, just eat it. And we eat it and just believe God and we don't get sick. We just don't. But then he said something else in the next verse. You see it? Verse 9. And heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And we just do that wherever we go, everywhere. It doesn't matter if they've ever even heard of Jesus before. Do you realize we go places where they've never heard of Jesus before? We went to places in India where they don't know Jesus. And Todd Powers and I preached a crusade in Mulan, Pakistan. The Islamic Republic of Pakistan. And they brought a girl that was 12 years old into the meeting who had never spoke a word in her life. And we just did what Jesus told us to do. We just laid hands on the sick and she began to speak. Well, that kind of helped the rest of the meeting. The crowd got a lot better the next night. And we just preached the gospel and people got saved. I would preach for 15 minutes the most basic gospel message you've ever heard in your life. And I would say, would anybody like to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved? And they did. I'm thinking, okay, you're going to totally switch your total belief system after listening to some American through a translator, talk for 15 minutes, and you're going to go, yeah, I'm going to sign up for the rest of my life. I'm going to be ostracized from my family. They may even try to kill me, but yes, I'm going to do this because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And if you believe that, you'll just go tell people. And if you believe that, you tell your coworkers that. If you believe that, come on, you tell even the brother-in-law that you don't like very much that same thing, because you at least like him to be saved, because he might change then. But Jesus said, no, look, this isn't Jesus. These are 70 people, unnamed people, that we're never going to know their names. Maybe in heaven we'll get to meet them, okay? We don't even know who they are. Just 70 random disciples of Jesus and say, okay, here's what. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send you out, and everything I've been doing, you're going to get the same results. Do it. Just go do it. Trust me. Believe me. Step out in faith. And that's what they did. Look at this. Verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, golly, you mean what I told you to do actually worked? That's amazing. Right? He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you what? Did you bring your Bible? That'd be a good thing to have marked in your Bible. One of the reasons I like paper version of the Bible. I understand electronic versions work. Okay? And I use them. And one of the reasons I use new Bibles quite frequently is there's just something about you need some fresh manna from heaven and you got to get it every day. And I don't want to know just what I learned 25 years ago. I want Jesus to be able to speak something fresh and new to me from that scripture like I've never seen it before. You follow me? And if something really excites me, I make a notation. I was sitting listening to this Bible teacher teach the last couple of days and drawing in my Bible and circling stuff and writing things in the margin because I might stumble into that later and go, man, that was good. And I remember who taught me that. And I haven't been doing that. Man, can you fall in love with your Bible again? And the Word of God. I'm not suggesting you've fallen out of everybody. I'm just, if that's for you, receive it. Got it? But look. And Jesus said, I give you the authority. You know, you can walk in a certain level of authority if you know who you are in Christ Jesus and you know what He told us. You know what He said. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But you know what? It's not something to really make a big deal about. That's the trouble with all this kind of thing. People that do this stuff are like, oh, yeah, God really uses me. This isn't about you. This isn't about you being powerful. This isn't about you being anything. This is about you just understanding what Jesus said. And going, okay. I believe that. I believe what you said. I'll just, let's do it. Let's do this. Let's do this. Jesus said, I'm going to give you authority over the enemy. I'm going to give you authority in these situations. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus is getting ready to go back to His Father in heaven. And He said, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, what? All what? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Okay, let's put that puzzle together a little bit. Why? Go back to verse 18. Why talk about the authority that Jesus has? Jesus says, I have all authority. I mean, look, I don't think He's just bragging here. I don't think He's just making a statement here. It has to do with the next thing He's getting ready to say. I have all authority. Go therefore. So go therefore is connected to the fact that Jesus has all authority. Jesus has all authority to assign us this duty. Come on, it would be wrong to give us a responsibility without giving us the authority to back up. I mean, have you ever had a job where you had, you know, a certain level of responsibility, but you didn't have any authority to go along with that? And it just doesn't work. So whatever level of responsibility one would have in life, whether it be as a father, as a husband, as a, you know, employee, as a business owner, as a manager, as an assistant manager, you have to have the appropriate level of authority to match that responsibility. Or it just is chaos. So what Jesus is saying is I have all the authority here to give you this assignment. And if I'm going to give you this assignment, I'm going to give you the appropriate authority to match the assignment I'm giving you. I have all authority, so I want you to, therefore, now verse 19, go into all the world. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what is it? Verse 20. teaching them to serve and so forth, and I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Now, again, what does all that authority include? What does that mean to go and make disciples? We'll look at Mark 16 because it's why we have more than one gospel, because they bring this to us from different perspectives. They have different purposes. Matthew has a different purpose and a different audience for writing than does Mark, than does Luke, than does John. So Mark gives us a detail here in this moment that Matthew doesn't record for us. Mark says it this way, Mark 16, verse 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's very, very similar to what he said. Go make disciples, okay? And then he said, baptizing and so forth in Matthew 28. But we have a little more specific, more specificity. Is that right? I just wanted to sound smart. All right. I don't think it did. All right. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Okay? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, again, because we've already read Matthew, we've already read Luke, Matthew 10, Luke 9, Luke 10, we see that Jesus sent out the disciples to do this stuff. This isn't unusual language. Jesus didn't throw this on them like randomly, like, this crazy talk. Jesus, what are you talking about? Casting out demons, healing sick people, you know, don't worry about, you know, I'll protect you from deadly situations. Look, and we need to pray. I've been getting text message after text message after text message from my friends in India. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but a guy just got beat up. His life was threatened. He was miraculously delivered just in the last couple of days. Some of our friends, our new friends, been dragged out into the jungle, beaten within inches of their life, their life threatened if they won't stop preaching the name of Jesus. But God is protecting them. They're getting beat up, but they're still alive. Are you following me? And they're still preaching. But you know, some people are martyred. Okay? And this one guy, and hopefully I can get this, they videotaped this guy, his interview, and he basically said, and it just makes me want to cry thinking about it, but he said, you know, I'd rather die. I'd rather be martyred than stop preaching about Jesus. I'm not going to stop preaching, even if they kill me. That's basically what he said. I just think we need to raise our level of believing a little bit, okay? Because if you know, some church member doesn't say hi to you in the grocery store, you think you're being persecuted. Okay? Let's get real. But this is the same stuff Jesus had already trained them to do. Right? So this isn't unusual. The unusual part is he's saying, I'm leaving. But you understand authority. And my name still works because I have all authority in all these situations still. And isn't that exactly what they did once the book of Acts started? Acts 3, come on. Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray, and a lame man is there begging. Peter and John say, we don't have any money for you. Okay, it doesn't mean they were broke. But you know what? There's a lot of times I don't have any money on me. Doesn't mean I'm broke. I just don't have any money for you. You know, I don't. I've got plastic. Do you have a, you know, something I can swipe? You know, don't make a big deal about they didn't have any money. That's missing the whole point. But Peter and John said, there's something we always have. We have authority. Said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I you. I'm going to give you what I have. I've got something for you. You got to come Sunday because I'm going to preach this a lot better on Sunday. Okay? Isaiah 42, the prophet's bemoaning the fact that people are just broken and people are in distress and people and no one is there to say they're bound and in torment, and no one is there to say, give them back. But Peter and John stood up and said, basically, to this lame man and to the, let's just say, the spirit that had him bound, they said to him, give him back. Give him his, give the ability for him to walk back. Give him the ability to work and earn a living back. Give him his dignity back. They had to sit here and beg for a living. Because they had authority and they said, here's what we have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man went walking, leaping, and praising God because they understood authority. They understood authority. It's almost like a power of attorney. You've sent your young people with us all over the place, to camps, to go on mission trips, to build homes, paint stuff here in America. Some of you sent kids with us internationally. But if something would have happened to any of them on any of those trips, I could walk into any hospital room and say, do this, do that, do the other thing, because I had power of attorney. I had authority over those young people to get done whatever needed to be done on their behalf, medically or any kind of emergency. Are you following me? As if I was their actual authority, because the parents gave me and Michelle and other adults power of attorney. Jesus has authority over lots of stuff. And as his followers, he gives us power of attorney to use his name. Follow me? This will change your prayer life. When you know something is wrong, you know it's unrighteous, you know it's demonic, you know it's evil, you know it's binding somebody, it would cause you to pray with greater authority and walk in greater authority in that situation and say, give them back. Let go of them. Heal him. Set him free. Give him a job. Whatever it is. 1 John 3:8. I hope this is right because I wrote it down by memory. But the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of Satan. Is that 1 John 3:8? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. The reason Jesus showed up was so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let me just ask you something. Does it look like the devil's works have been destroyed in the world? No. So is this scripture wrong? Is it false? Is it not telling the truth? Well, no. Jesus destroyed the works of Satan wherever he went. Right? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Everywhere Jesus did, he destroyed the works of Satan. Colossians chapter 2, look there. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us, having taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Look at verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When Jesus went to the cross, he how do I want to say this? He took away the legal right for Satan to oppress you. You see, when Adam sinned and fell, it was as if the authority that Adam had, he transferred over to Satan. Because when God put Adam in the garden, he gave him dominion. He gave him authority over everything in the world, right? Gave him two things in the garden. He gave him dominion and he gave him herbs bearing seed. He gave him seeds to sow. Man, almost every, I wouldn't say every, so much of what you need to know about God goes back to those two things. Understanding what authority you have and understanding that, you have seeds to sow. Look, you'll be completely liberated as a tither if you understand that that's just seeds to sow. And if you understand seed time and harvest, you understand that if I give, it's given back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But do you understand that works in the realm of, forgiveness? It works in the realm of friendship. It works in the realm of kindness. I was in this really kind of budget motel the last few nights. But I'm just telling you, the staff there that worked at the desk and everybody that worked in this little hotel, they were just fabulous. They were so friendly. They were so, I felt like I was a member of the family or something. And you know what? It made me want to treat them well. It made me want to speak kindly to them. It made me want to engage in conversations. I'd get up in the morning to go down and get my cup of coffee. And if you know me, I'm not fully awake just because my eyes are open and I'm walking. But, you know, the lady at the desk, good morning, how are you this morning? You're looking so awesome. And I'm thinking, you're such a liar, but go ahead and keep telling me that I'm looking good. And, man, you're going to have a great day today. And I'm thinking, man, these people, this is like church at this little hotel. But it just, it made me happy. It made me treat them well. Then they treated me better. I mean, I put on a suit last night to go to Chad's ordination. I'm not kidding. I'm just walking down. I'm not making eye contact with anybody. I'm just walking out to my vehicle. And the lady at the desk says, man, that looks really good. I'm thinking, I do look good, don't I? You know, it just caused me to feel better about myself. But when I came back, you know, I just wanted to almost give her a high five. Like, man, tonight went awesome. Thank you for the assist. Are you following me? Because she understood seed time and harvest. She planted good seeds and she got good harvest back. Follow me? She treated everybody, it was like everybody there. So the ownership must be awesome in this place. But they treated me well and I treated them well because that's how seed time and harvest. But if they would have been, you know, grouchy, whatever, I wouldn't have had anything to do with them. I would have had as little contact with them as possible. I wouldn't have had any interaction with them at all. I wouldn't have said hello. I wouldn't have been rude. I'd just been. But authority and seeds, that's what was given to Adam in the garden. Okay? And when Jesus died as a sinless person, it was sort of like the legal claim. See, Psalm 115 says that God has given the earth to the children of men. Okay? It's like what God intended for us has been restored to us. He disarmed. He made powerless all of these rulers that sort of had this legal right against us, and he disarmed them. I got to finish. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits. Now, if he's the first fruits, what does that suggest to you? There's a lot of other fruit. Look around, say, you know, there's a lot of fruit. We're the rest of the fruit. He's the first fruits. You got it. For since man came death, By man also came the resurrection of the dead. By Jesus' resurrection, we all can taste the resurrection of the dead now. For in Adam, verse 22, all die. Even so in Christ, all should be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after those who are Christ, belong to Christ at his coming. Verse 24, then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, and he has put an end to all rule and authority and power. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Look, legally, Jesus has done everything to destroy the works of Satan. Okay? But we know that the works of Satan are still rampant in the earth, right? Come on. There will be an end to that. Okay? We're living in that time between Jesus' resurrection and Jesus coming again. And when Jesus comes again, the last enemy, death, will be put under his feet. There will be no more death, no more dying, right? And he's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. So we're still in this process from victory declared to final victory completely realized. That's where all this kind of prayer for authority comes in, and I really have to wrap this up in 30 seconds. So that's why we pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God's will in heaven is still not reigning in the earth. And until Jesus comes again, it's our responsibility as the children of God, as the people of God, to walk in the authority of the name of Jesus and undo the works of Satan on behalf of our family and behalf of people that we don't even know. Because somebody has to stand up and say, give them back. In Jesus' name. Stop it in Jesus' name. Release them in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be restored in Jesus' name. That's the authority that Jesus gave us, and it's our job until he comes again to deliver the kingdom to his Father. Until that day, we have that authority to walk in it. And it's time for us to stop shrinking back, believing the lie, because Satan is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, and his biggest lie is that you really can't do that. Who do you think you are? It doesn't matter who I am. It matters whose I am. And if I'm Christ's, then I'm in this succession. He's the first fruit, and I'm following. Christ raised again from the dead, and I'm going to raise again from the dead. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. So it's not me, but it's the power of God in me and the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Now, your assignment is to read through Ephesians chapter 1 and read the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And it all has to do with you knowing what belongs to you and the authority that you have because you are now in Christ. And it will change your prayer life. God bless you. Have a good night.